Hey, good morning. It's Patricia Murphy. It's Tuesday. This is Seattle Now. Washington is one of only 8 states without an income tax, but legal experts think that could change after a state Supreme Court ruling last week. Pluribus News reporter Austin Jenkins is here to talk with us about the court's ruling on capital gains tax and what it means for Washington's tax law. But first, let's get you caught up. The number of unsheltered people in our state increased, according to a new government report. The Seattle Times crunched the numbers in the 2022 U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development's annual homelessness assessment. In Washington, the number of unsheltered people increased by 10% between 2020 and 2022. That's nearly 3,000 people, and also likely an undercount, according to the reporting. Washington's Department of Commerce estimated that 53,500 people experienced homelessness in King County in 2022. Washington Senate Democrats released their state budget proposal for the next 2 years. It includes $5 billion in new spending, as the state expects more than $65 billion in revenue. Nearly $3 billion of that increase is for education spending. Some of the other budgeted items include housing, behavioral health, childcare, and environmental projects. The state legislature has about a month to approve the budget. And the summer of 2021 was the Northwest's hottest in at least 1,000 years. Scientists at Columbia University made the determination by studying tree rings, which grow darker in hot summers. 2021's 2-week heat wave was deadly, and the study says without interventions, summers as hot as 2021 could happen more often. Washington passed a capital gains tax back in 2021. It's a tax that would apply to the sale of stocks and bonds, but only those exceeding $250,000. So, as you can imagine, this tax applies to very few people. Supporters of the tax hoped it would make Washington's tax system more fair and raise money for things like public education. Opponents claim capital gains are a form of income, so the tax is unconstitutional.
There's a lot of people who didn't like this, even though very few would pay it, and so they sued.
That's Pluribus News reporter Austin Jenkins, who's been covering the state legislature's attempt at capital gains taxes for years. Last week, the Washington Supreme Court ruled in favor of the state. It said the capital gains tax is not an income tax and is thus constitutional. Austin Jenkins is here to break down the ruling and where things could go from here. Austin, thanks so much for joining us.
It's great to be here, and thanks for having me.
Okay, so as you mentioned, a lot of people will not have to pay this particular capital gains tax. So why is this such a big deal in Washington state?
It's a big deal because we're not an income tax state, first off. Capital gains taxes exist in a lot of states, but mostly that's in income tax states. And so we're not an income tax state, and I think that's significant. The other part of this is that we have case precedent that says that Washington state cannot have a graduated income tax and that income is treated as property. And so you've got layers of case law, but also sort of the Washington way, right? Which is that we tax things you purchase, we tax your property, but we don't tax your income. And that's, I think, what rubbed at least the opponents who sued to overturn this the wrong way.
Yeah. Now, Governor Inslee and a lot of progressives think this is a start to a more equitable fix for Washington's regressive tax system. As you mentioned, the number of people who have to pay this tax is fairly small. Let's talk about who they are.
Well, the governor's office has said it's about a quarter of 1% of the population. An estimate is that maybe 7,000 state residents would pay this in a given year. But here's the thing, Patricia, it would raise a pretty good chunk of money in the best of years, at least. They're projecting maybe $500 million a year. That's real money. It's volatile. You can't always depend on it. It will go up. It will go down.
Is this new money that's coming in right away, Austin? Because $500 million is, like you said, fairly significant. And lawmakers are coming up on budget season right now. Are they going to be able to use this new money?
The timing of this decision is, well, timely because, yes, not only are legislators writing budgets, but the first time that this tax was scheduled to be collected is starting next month. So, you know, everybody's kind of wondering, what's going to happen? Is this going to be upheld? If the state collects the money and it's found unconstitutional, then they'll have to refund it. Now there's some clarity both for budget writers and tax collectors.
Yeah, but let's talk about the fallout here, because the push-pull is going to start now, right? Washington conservatives concerned that this is going to open the door to an income tax, and progressives pushing lawmakers to propose an income tax. Did the justices address this specifically in their ruling?
Well, it's interesting because some court watchers thought that this court would take this case as an opportunity to revisit past precedent around the income tax. And in the end, the majority did not. But if you read the opinion, it seems as if the majority, and it was written by Justice Deborah Stevens, lays out a pathway for a future challenge to Washington's essentially prohibition on income taxes. It seems as if they've kind of given a roadmap that another case could be brought and that there might be an openness to go back and revisit those cases. So that seems significant. They seem to be sending a signal. The second part of this is that this decision does fuel, I think, progressives who want to see the state make the tax system more progressive. We're already seeing backers of the capital gains tax now talking about how the state should think about adopting a wealth tax. So I think that this does give some additional and added momentum to tax reformers, for sure.
All right, Austin. Well, you know, over the weekend, billionaire Ken Fisher announced he's moving his investment company from Washington to Texas, and he specifically cited the state Supreme Court decision in this announcement. You know, companies move for a lot of reasons. Is he being dramatic, or is this actually significant?
Well, he'd already moved to Texas. That's my understanding. In fact, he's moving his company. I mean, he hasn't liked the tax structure here for a long time. He's made that known. This would be what opponents of this tax would say would be the sort of fallout, is that high wealth individuals have some flexibility. They can live where they want. They can move their companies where they want. The key here is that this is paid by individuals. And to the extent to which, you know, will this push some portion, some percentage of the 7,000 estimated people who will pay this tax out of the state? Perhaps. I think that that's a gamble that the sponsors, the supporters are willing to take.
You know, Justice Deborah Stevens wrote in her ruling that Washington has a uniquely regressive tax system that perpetuates systemic racism. Is it meaningful that she used that language?
Yes, I think that is meaningful. And it's in there a couple of times. And it seems to be signaling to those who don't like this system of taxation and might want the prohibition on a graduated income tax that this court is open to that argument, that the court sees flaws in the current system. And if you want to bring a case, a different case, we might consider that.
Austin, what did the dissenting justices write in their opinion?
Well, it's interesting because they took the completely opposite view here, that in fact, this capital gains tax is a tax on income and that it's not constitutional. So you've got seven members of this court saying this is an excise tax, it stands. Two others saying we don't see it that way, but they were in the minority.
All right. Well, Austin, what happens next? Is there the possibility of a challenge or even taking this to the federal appeals court?
Yeah, I think a couple of things could happen. One is the plaintiffs could decide to try their chances in federal court, and that would be around the arguments that this runs afoul of the U.S. Constitution and specifically the Dormant Commerce Clause. Maybe that could happen. But what's also interesting is that the state Supreme Court seems to leave open in their majority opinion the idea that in the future, plaintiffs could come back and sue in state court if they can show harm once this tax is being paid. So that also seems significant, that while the state Supreme Court feels like the end of the line, this may not be the last we've heard of challenges, legal challenges to this capital gains tax.
Austin Jenkins is a reporter for Pluribus News and the host of Inside Olympia on TVW. Thanks again, Austin. Always good to talk to you.
Likewise.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to Seattle Now. Today's episode was produced by Vaughn Jones. The show is also produced by Caroline Chamberlain Gomez, Claire McGrain, Brooklyn Jamerson Flowers, Jenny Cecil Moore, and Brandy Fullwood. Matt Jorgensen does our theme music. Seattle Now and KUOW Public Radio are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Patricia Murphy. See you tomorrow. Tomorrow.